Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special 1973 podcast interview with a very special young man, friend of a friend, son of a friend, Gabriel Rose. He's going to talk to us and tell us his journey with in sports with type 1 diabetes, if I have that correctly. And Gabriel, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey? Talk to your dad. Maybe your dad can add a little bit here and there, and we'll have some questions for you.
Okay, yeah, awesome. So my name's Gabriel Rose. I'm currently a junior. I'm 16 years old, and I go to Cary Grove High School. I got the shirt right now for my football team. So I've always been, like, involved in sports in my life. Right now I'm in football, and we play for a very good team, Cary Grove. We have a lot of championships under our belt. We just won one this year. It was pretty great. So, yeah, that's a little bit about me. The main thing is that I'm a diabetic, type 1 diabetic, and that whole journey pretty much started when I was about nine years old, I believe. And yep. I remember during that time I was in football, baseball, a bunch of stuff. So it affected me pretty hard. So when I was about nine, I got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And then I remember being in the hospital for about 2 weeks. And the worst part about it was honestly just not being able to be with my team during those 2 weeks, because, you know, sports have always been like a big part of my life, and being with the team has always been big. And that's, you know, still with me to this day. So those 2 weeks were hard for me. And, you know, getting to learn the whole diabetic realm is very hard in the beginning, because, you know, no one likes needles. And then when you have doctors coming to tell you to you know, inject this needle by yourself into your arm, you know, it's a little bit tough. But it definitely broke me out of my comfort zone. And I'm still doing that, obviously. So since I got it when I was nine, I've had it for about 7 years. And I think the biggest part about being a diabetic is that, you know, you're always constantly challenged more than the average person, and you're always pushed out of your comfort zone more than the average person. So I think that's definitely a big plus, because I would like to say that, you know, my average life or my average football practice or my average day at school is, you know, a lot harder than, you know, the average person, especially my age. Because a lot of kids my age, and especially in this generation, you know, they don't like to work, and a little work scares them. So me being diabetic constantly has to push me to put in that extra work, put in a little bit more than everybody else. And I think that really helps me out. And when it comes to the sports realm, that adds just a extra layer of difficulty, because, you know, every day you have to manage that blood sugar. And so you're going to have to constantly finger poke yourself, take insulin if you need to. You know, you might have a practice where you feel like you feel sick and you just don't feel good and you don't want to practice, but you have to be there no matter what. So that definitely affects it. But the biggest thing is that when something like that happens, you just have to kind of realize that it's out of your control. And you just have to do what you can do to, I guess, get back in there and just do what you can do to play it in the long run in the future. So that's definitely affected me a lot this season, especially because this season I was fighting especially hard for a varsity spot, and which was very tough on a state championship team. So all those extra little knickknacks with the diabetes, it's definitely a setback, but in the long run, I believe that it just makes me stronger. And yeah.
So, Gabe, I can interject here, man. So talk us through, man, about how, like, your diet affects, you know, how you kind of prep for going into, you know, going into like a school day, and then also like a day where, you know, you have a heavy practice and game day. Like, talk about your diet. Talk about, because, man, you look pretty yoked, man. Looks like you've been hanging and banging, saying your prayers, eating your vitamins, man. I mean, you know, I mean, I know you're, I mean, you and your, myself and your dad, we used to go to Gold's Gym in Dartmouth a couple of times back in the day. And, you know, your mom's always posting pictures at the gym. So, I mean, I know you come from like, you know, like good stock on people that work out. So, you know, you gotta let us in here on the secret, man, because you look pretty yoked, man. So tell us about it. So, you know, take us from like freshman year, like, you know, hey, like how you started, that type of thing, like what you're doing for workouts, that type of thing. And for food too, man, because that's really important. I know.
Yeah. So, obviously, the food's very important when it comes to like your diabetes and your blood sugar and all that. But I think there's a very big misconception that when you have diabetes, you know, you should only be eating healthy, be cutting down your carbs and all that. But at the end of the day, like you need carbs. I remember in the beginning.
So what you're telling me is your dad needs to eat a potato and a roll, huh?
No, definitely. No, shut up.
No, but in the beginning of my journey, when I was still in the hospital, maybe the first like 6 months fresh out of the hospital, I remember my mom and me would try to eat like as little carbs as we could, because we thought, you know, the less carbs, the less insulin, the lower the blood sugar, the healthier you are. But that obviously didn't work out because my body just kept going in ketosis. So at the end of the day, that misconception is obviously there with the diabetes, and that's pretty false. So after we got that figured out, I started, I want to say, just eating whatever I want. So up until about freshman year, I just ate whatever I want. But the summer going into freshman year is when I started working out. And then that's when I started like taking my diet seriously. So I'm thankful that my mom manages a small gym like 15 minutes away from me. So I would go there like every day just by myself. And honestly, it would be like 2.5 hours because I could not drive myself. So I would go whenever my mom went and then when my mom left. So I was there just constantly doing whatever work I could do, because start of freshman year, I always had a vision to start varsity. So I would put in as much work as I could during that time just so I can start varsity when I'm a senior, because that was my goal. So during that time, I started incorporating like the proteins and all that, but nothing too serious. So that lasted, I'd say, freshman and like halfway through sophomore year. And then halfway through sophomore year, we started meal prepping, and I started just cracking down on like eating those like high calorie, high protein, like low fat kind of things, because at the end of the day, I knew that that stuff would help me gain muscle, and that on top of going to the gym, you know, will build my muscle very fast, and it does. So I started taking that seriously sophomore year until now. And so where I'm at right now, I pretty much eat a lot of food. I eat probably about 3,500 to like 4,000 calories a day.
Damn.
I can probably vouch for that.
Yeah. He's going to put me in the poorhouse. He's a human vacuum cleaner of food.
Dang. Yeah.
Well, you got to have good grades so you can go to college. You're college fund right there, man.
I don't know. But it's going to a good cause. So, yeah. So I eat pretty much everything I can right now. But I try to stay away from the unhealthy food. Like, you'll never see me eat like – at least at my house, just randomly eat like cookies or brownies or something like that, just because I don't want to fill my body up with that. But I do like to fill my body up with like good calories and good proteins and good fats and good carbs. So, yeah. Yeah.
That's what if I can jump in real quick. I know my wife does a tremendous job of meal prepping, not only for him, but also for herself, basically for couple of times a week for the entire week. Good meals for him, you know, chicken breasts, veggies, rice, ground beef, all that good stuff, just prepped. So he's off to school. You know, he has his breakfast. He's off to school. He comes home for lunch. He eats again. You know, he comes home. He eats again and again and again. But I mean, the kids, like I said, you can tell he's pretty big. He's still growing. I mean, I think he finished the season around 168, and he's already up to 180 now. So he's really hard charging it. But kind of back to the beginning, like that when he was diagnosed, 9 years old. It was August 18th, 2016. Is a day that changed our family forever. Really, we became very educated, very fast about this new life that Gabriel had to live and that we had to support. You know, so it was a very vulnerable time for all of us. I was very scared. I can only imagine, you know, how frightened he was as a child. And you feel kind of helpless as a parent, knowing that you didn't really do anything to create this situation. It was just something that unfortunately happened. Like, they still don't really know the cause of type 1 diabetes or why it happens. But we knew that, you know, he had a mouth infection about a month before that. And then we had traveled. We actually went out to Massachusetts. I saw you guys playing hockey and stuff. Then we came back and he went into his football combine because he was playing youth football at the time. And he just lost a ton of weight really fast. He was urinating a lot. He was constantly thirsty, but he was doing his football combine, which is 5 days a week, 2 hours a day. And we kind of chalked it up to, you know, the overexertion going on during all this exercise. And I think one of the coaches or something said that he was, you know, he's going to the bathroom abnormally, you know, a lot. And it doesn't seem normal. So my wife decided to, hey, I'm going to take him into the doctor and let's see what's going on. And I kind of got a panicked phone call that day that she took him in saying, you know, Gabriel's being admitted to the hospital. He's a type 1 diabetic. And I was just like, wait, what? This, you know, healthy, virile, active, athletic kid is like, what even is, you know? Yeah, I didn't even really know that much about type 1 diabetes at the time. And so we've learned a lot. We've learned how to live with it. He's become super independent over the last several years, where we don't have to really stay on top of him about everything regarding managing his blood sugar on a daily basis. He does have a lot of challenges that other kids don't have, right? He has to constantly live in a different sphere than everyone else. He has to worry about, okay, what am I eating? How many carbs is this? He has to take all these extra steps, right? He has to do all these extra, oh, my insulin, you know, my insertion site for my insulin pump is screwed up and I'm out with my friends. What do I do? Right? I ran out of insulin. Dad, you got to bring me, I'm having a sleepover at my friend's house and I ran out of insulin. Like, there's a lot of, he had to do a lot of growing up really, really fast. And we had to be as patient as we could as parents. And sometimes that's hard, right? Sometimes I know, and you know, Gabriel, sometimes I get like super frustrated with you, right? And I'm sure yeah. You get super frustrated with me because I'm a, you know, up your butt about it all the time. But, you know, you kind of have to, because it can be a life or death situation if you don't treat it with the proper respect. But this young man was really one of the main catalysts for me wanting to lose a bunch of weight and become, you know, a healthier version of myself. Cause I saw how dedicated he is and all the effort that he puts in. I thought it was a pretty small thing for me to, you know, go ahead and just try to present, you know, my best self. So I just want to take the opportunity to actually thank you, Gabriel, for kind of spurning me into action and helping me going to the gym with me all those months, day after day.
Oh, yeah.
It certainly helped me on my way. So I appreciate that.
So okay. Let me, before Ed jumps in, I just want to tell your son that since Dennis came on the podcast and we uploaded the video, we usually upload into our weekly episode any interviews that we do, and then we upload it eventually as a single. And your dad's segment was in our top five most downloaded audio podcasts out of all the episodes we've done. And, you know, it goes all over the world. We can attest to that. You know, we get the analytics from wherever it's downloaded, and, you know, Japan, Germany, all over Europe, all over the US, Canada.
Wow.
I mean, it's in one of our top five most downloaded episodes. So hopefully the message that comes out, and we love to have fun. I mean, we cut each other up. We talk about all kinds of stuff, and
dad eating potatoes and rolls.
Yeah. And I just want you to know that the message that you're getting out there, there could be a young athlete that's just being diagnosed with a form of diabetes or something else, that, you know, they could stumble across this, and the message that you're portraying, that it could get better for you. It could be a life-changing experience for not just yourself, but for other family members as an inspiration. That's always what we hope for with when we sit down and really do a deep dive with some serious stuff. And especially when it hits close to home, where, you know, I've known your dad since fourth grade. So it's just special when you can, you know, bring in different aspects of your friendship and family and talk about, you know, certain things like this that could inspire multiple different people. So I'll kick it to Ed. I know Ed's got a couple of questions.
Yeah, man. So what are you doing what kind of workouts are you doing? Are you doing, like, are you cycling through like a 3x10, 5x5 kind of like weightlifting schedule type of a thing? And then following up with that question is, you know, what are you doing for body maintenance? Are you having any issues with your body breaking down, like to recover? I guess those would be a little bit more kind of more serious questions coming at you, you know, going, I mean, cause I remember, cause your mom, she was posting a bunch of stuff about your championship on Facebook.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, take us through that. Like, okay, look, you know, this is what we did during the season. You know, this is how I was eating during the season. This is what made me feel better. And kind of take us through like some of your workouts, you know, what kind of foods you're doing to kind of like recover, and how's your body reacting to, you know, like like heavy contact that you're doing through practice now? I mean, I know your dad and Andy and myself, practices were a little bit different than what they are now. They really didn't care about us as much. It was kind of like, if you got if you got knocked out during practice, you just, in the quotation fingers, you got your bell rung.
Hydration was not an issue back then.
Oh, okay, but so let me think about this. All right, so during the season, yeah, there's definitely some banging up, some soreness that goes on. So during the actual season, well, we work out usually twice a day and then a football practice. So we have strength and conditioning, which is just lifting during our school day. And then I would have practice from 3 to 6, which sometimes could be very tough on your body. And then after that, my dad usually sees me just like go in the basement, and I usually do something in my basement just for a little extra. But it definitely does a number on your body, especially the practices. When you're participating at that varsity level, you know, you're going to get dinged up and all that. And on top of weightlifting, you're going to get sore, and that's just going to add another element of like hurt to your body. So I think nutrition is definitely big. Recovery would be like, I used to stretch every night, and I know that helps. You probably heard that all over the place. I have a massage gun that I would also use after every practice. You know, when I would take a helmet to, like, I don't know, my elbow or something, or like my leg, and there would be a big bruise, I would just hold the massage gun, even though it hurt, but I knew it would help. So that definitely helped. The eating, obviously, protein. I just obviously, like I said, I eat as much as I can, so I'm getting plenty of protein. So that that definitely speeds up the recovery and helps, you know, like replenish your muscle. And then just cold therapy whenever you can. At the school, we always had an ice bath after every practice. I didn't use it after every practice, but you know, the really tough ones I would. So would all like the starters. That's where they would go, and I kind of just like followed in their footsteps because I knew, you know, the starters, obviously they're going to be doing, you know, what's necessary and what they should be doing. So that was kind of my schedule during the actual season. And then as of, I would say right now, there's about 2 to 3 lifts every day. So for football, 3 days a week, we have it before school, and that starts at 5:35. So that means wake up at 5 o'clock, and sometimes they're a tough lift in the morning, but you just got to wake up. And then one workout during the actual school day. And then after school, I lift. It's either that or we have the workout during school and then a workout after school that I choose to do on my own. So that's like right now. And obviously my body's always hurting, but I know that right now the off season going into my next football season is extremely important. And I know if I want to start on a championship varsity team and be the best player I can be, you know, I have to push through a little soreness and go to the gym every day and do a little more every day because I know that it's going to help me. So, yeah.
And drink electrolytes. You need electrolytes are huge because he had a big issue not this season, but I think the prior season where after games, his whole body would ramp up tremendously, like where he would, where he was like rigid on the floor screaming in pain.
Yeah, I can talk about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
So there was this, yeah, like my dad said, there was a kind of a problem we had. It was my sophomore season, so it was last year. And we didn't know about it. We didn't know it was a thing, but pretty much when you go through a very hard game and, you know, your electrolytes are already depleted, and because I have a pump that gives me insulin and that pretty much lowers my blood sugar. And when I'm playing, it looks like this. When I'm playing, it obviously isn't connected to my body because it will break. And that's what all the diabetics do. Anyone that plays football, they don't want it to break. So during the game, what happens is my blood sugar just creeps up and up and up. And by the time the game's over, it's, you know, in the high 300s, 400 or 500s at times, depending on how long the game was. So once that happens and your blood sugar is all the way up here, you take a bunch of insulin and then it comes crashing down to a normal or low blood sugar. And we found out that pretty much depleches your electrolytes even more and just gets rid of whatever you have. So what would happen is whenever I would have a game like that, right after the game, about, I don't know, an hour maybe, I would cramp and the cramps would be very, very bad. So I remember one time just like walking onto the bus and I had to stand the whole ride home because I couldn't sit down because my legs were cramping that bad. And then like my dad said, it was a different game, but I came back home, my legs were cramping and I went down to stretch my legs. And then I just started feeling a cramps all over. It was almost like, you know, you were taking like body hits, like to your whole body. And I just couldn't do anything but fall to the floor pretty much. And then the cramps like spread like to like my fingertips, my neck, to like pretty much everywhere on my body. And I just couldn't get up. So I just screamed for help. And then that's when we kind of asked our endocrinologist. We were like, what's up with this? And we found out the real reason. So we got that under control.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot he has to, because he can't wear the pump during the game. There's a lot of manipulation he's got to do that day of the game to be able to keep his blood sugar at a certain level. And I'm even looking at it and saying, okay, he's around 120 right now. It's school's ending. He's going to start getting geared up and everything. And then, so the goal for him is to try to have it be, you know, as low as it can be before he disconnects from his pump and then goes and gets after it out there on the field, because he's going to be disconnected from that thing for, you know, 3 hours. On practices, it's different because he can go step out, check his blood sugar, take some insulin if he needs to. When it's Friday Night Lights and there's just like, there's so much going on, he really doesn't have that luxury. So there's a lot of, you know, wear and tear and sacrifice that his body's going through just so he can play this sport that he loves so much.
Go ahead, Ed.
Can you put it back on at halftime and like at least kind of get like a baseline there?
Can you repeat that?
Could you put it on at halftime and like at least get a baseline to at least help you there? And I'm asking because I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to elaborate on the practices and then I'll get to that. So whenever I would go out to practice and during the season, a lot of, you know, the blood sugar stuff kind of solved itself, I would say, except for Friday nights, because I would just be consistent with it. So during the school day, I would, you know, try to eat the same thing for lunch. I would try to drink a protein shake right before practice. And that usually sustains like your blood sugar for that three hour period. Okay. The beginning, obviously it's hard and my blood sugar would be going up and down during practice. I wouldn't feel good. But once, you know, you're consistent with it, your body kind of adapts itself and we stopped having as many problems at the end of the season. So I guess just consistency is key with that. But Friday night lights are always different because you might not know this, but like your adrenaline and like nerves, they can actually affect your blood sugar. So, you know, when we're playing a good team and the whole student section is screaming and, you know, there's lights flashing and stuff, you know, your adrenaline's going through the roof. Your blood sugar is also going to go through the roof. So that's kind of why the Friday night lights were always, you know, a bit of a problem for the blood sugar. But you also don't feel it though when you're playing. You can be playing and the adrenaline covers it. But as of the halftime stuff, yeah, I took my pump, my bag every time to halftime, and I kind of get it situated during that 15-minute time period. So I would get it set, and then it would pretty much be good for the rest of the game.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So, Gabe, as far as like short-term goals, it's to make varsity next year.
Oh yeah, that's a big goal of mine.
So that would be probably the short-term goal. The long-term goal, what do you have? Is it athletics? Is it academics? Is it a combination of both? What's the long-term goal?
So, you know, I think a lot about like what I'm going to do in my future. The long-term goal is definitely to be rich. And I think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to do that by starting my own business and then using that money to buy real estate. This summer, so sophomore year going into junior year, I started a pressure washing business and I did kind of some various side hustles, you know, online, and I made a good chunk of money. And I think that I'm using those lessons and I'm going to repeat that again this summer. And hopefully that can build me a foundation for, you know, like a financial foundation to, you know, start something bigger once I get out of high school or out of college. And then, you know, I can sustain that business doing whatever I do and then invest that into real estate.
Well, as a good businessman, you know, you got to plug your business. So yeah, you can't just leave. You just can't have this open forum and not plug your business. At least mention where it is and how people can get their pressure washed.
No, yeah. So it was a pressure washing business. It was local in Cary, Illinois, and the surrounding towns. It was called Blue Wave
Blue Wave.
Yeah, Blue Wave Power Cleaning.
Ride the wave, baby.
Yeah, I chose the coolest name I could. There's a website. If you look up bluewavepowercleaning.com,
it'll
come up.
You should have changed your screen name to your business name, and then you would have been all set.
Yeah, I should have.
Right? This is our first rodeo. We've dealt with people with businesses before, so you gotta pump tires where you can. When that football ends, you need that income coming in.
Andy, we need to hook him up with Joe.
Yeah, we got a guy.
We know a guy.
Yeah, he's all about creative marketing and taking something small and turning it into something big. As a matter of fact, yeah, one of your father's old stomping grounds, he has a sign in the back, the original sign from the Foxy Lady back in the day.
We don't need to talk about that. Trying to get me in trouble over here.
Yeah. So we'll segue. No, it's great. Ed, before we close, Ed, Dennis, do you want to touch on anything before we,
Yeah. I'd love to, first and foremost, man, Gabe, I'd like to check out, look up the Yogi Triathlete. He's a buddy I went to high school with. His name is BJ Gomkowski. He's been featured in Triathlete Magazine, that type of thing. I think the breath work that he had me doing when I was training for my Ironman that I did, I think would really kind of help you, maybe help you push that adrenaline spike down, maybe help you from spiking so much. Look him up. He and his wife have a cookbook. Now they're vegan and stuff like that, but you can also, like, a lot of their recipes and stuff like that were really great. You can always throw some grilled chicken in there if you have to, that type of thing. Definitely check them out. BJ's great. BJ and his wife Jessica, they're great people. Check them out, man. I think that would be really helpful with you as well.
Awesome.
I will. Dennis, do you want to touch on anything that maybe your son left out before we close out the remainder of the interview?
No. I mean, I think I want to thank you guys for having him on, and I want to thank Gabriel for having the courage to come on here and tell your story, man. It's good stuff. Yeah. I love you very much, and I'm very proud of you. And I think if this can inspire some kid who sees it to say, hey, yeah, I can still do things. I can still play football. I can do whatever I want, then it's a win, right? So just thank you guys for giving him the platform to bring that awareness to type one, that it's not a, it's not a death sentence. You can live your best life, right? Which is, exhibit A is sitting right here, right?
Yeah. Nice. We
got to be a varsity starter for the state championship football team, this fall.
Goonguard.com, like some mouthpieces, man, from Goonguard.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
there you go.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought those were specifically for hockey, but no.
No.
I'm going to go on Goonguard, but you got to give me the promo code.
Oh. 1973, bro.
Yeah, 1973.
His mouth guards this year are going to be sponsored by Goon Guard. All right, I'm going to get on that. I got you.
No, they come two to a pack, and they also make the kind that attach to the football cage, or they make the singles that just go in. And everybody that we gave them out to swears by them. I mean, they're like so light, yeah. And you can actually have a conversation with them in, like, almost like you just put like your dentures in, type of thing. So
number seven for the CG Trojans is going to be wearing a Goonguard mouthpiece this year.
And you can I don't know if you are interested, but if you go on the website, you can actually customize them to your team and however you want to do them. If you want to do colors, you can do colors, you can do all kinds of customization to it. So definitely check those guys out. They're one of the first people we ever had on for sponsors, and fantastic company. Was definitely, out of everybody that we've been on, they're top notch. Great guys, right out of Minnesota. So definitely check them out. Definitely sports based guys, love them. So definitely check that out. And I just want to say thanks for coming on, because this podcast thing is still such a open forum where you do not know who is watching, how far the reach is, what moment you're going to catch somebody watching something or coming across something. It's like so wide open. It's not just a local thing. It's definitely a worldwide thing. And like I said, you never know who's watching and the positive spin that you can put on somebody, even if you just get somebody's attention for, you know, a half an hour and they're like, wow, his story sounds a lot like my story, but I don't have the, you know, the parental guidance or the know-with-all to, you know, and there could be a reach, somebody could reach out and is there some social media forum that could, you know, address if anybody reached out to them?
I don't think you're on TikTok. Are you on any social media?
Yeah, I have Instagram. My Instagram is, let me.
he doesn't even know. He's gotta look it up.
You gotta be prepared, Gabe.
Are you kidding me? 5 minutes before this freaking thing started, he was in the kitchen shoving food in his face.
Hey, I did say I eat as much as I can get my hands on.
From a positive standpoint, you never know if somebody wants to reach out and have a conversation, and you never know whose life you could touch. So, Gabe, if you have an Instagram that you want to mention, along with the power washing business, go right ahead.
No, yeah. Yeah, if any other diabetics or something want to reach out to me, my Instagram is Gabriel_Rose7.
There we go.
I think that one of the biggest reasons why I said yes to, you know, hopping on this interview is because I knew I'd be sharing my diabetic story. And I thought that, if I can help out, you know, one person that maybe doesn't know any other diabetics in their life, or maybe, you know, is being very challenged by what it's bringing them. You know, maybe they want to quit sports. Maybe they want to stop working. Maybe they want to just stop whatever they're doing. Maybe I can put a little bit of hope that you can keep doing everything and you can do it to the best of your abilities.
Fantastic. That's a great way to end our time together. And we'll hopefully be able to touch base and at least, you know, find out if, I'll let your dad know how the interview is going and we can track it and see, how far the reach has gone. So,
yeah, awesome. Thank you for having me.
Maybe we can have him back on when they win another state championship next year.
We can do that. And also we can bring him full speed and see what a year has done, the reach, and maybe he'll have a story that somebody reached out to him and we can continue the positive spin on everything.
Sounds great, guys. Yeah. Thanks again.
All right.
Thank you.
From our family to your family, let's put a spin on this, a positive spin, and we'll see you next time.